You're listening to a podcast produced solely by the students of Elm Grove Middle School's STEM program. Thanks for the support.
Hi, I'm Addison.
My name is Cutter.
And I'm Hannah. Here's a question that's rarely thought about on a daily. How were complex elements formed?
Well, that's what we're talking about, how the first complex elements were formed.
How did complex elements come into existence? Do you have any idea, Cutter?
Well, stars are really hot, and since protons have a lot of energy whenever they heat up, they violently beat into each other, causing them to fuse. That's called nuclear fusion.
If hydrogen and helium are the base elements of our universe, then would the protons fusing together make complex elements?
Not exactly. Some elements, like carbon or iron, need a lot more protons than others. Iron has 26 protons. Can you believe it? According to Big History Project, it would take a heat of 3 billion degrees in order to make 26 protons fuse together.
How on earth would iron get that much heat?
Think of it this way. A star has a job, and that job is to fuse together these really energetic protons. They're like kindergarten. Well, when it runs out of fuel, it can't make protons, therefore its star collapses really violently. Hannah, do you remember when we were talking about black holes in class?
I think so? Okay. When stars die, their core heats up to an insanely large amount of heat. This can cause a large amount of protons to fuse together and later make different elements.
Exactly. You got it, girl. It also depends on the size of the stars.
I know about this.
Cool. Go ahead.
Small stars burn for billions of years, and they eventually fade away. Larger stars are way cooler to learn about. Large stars have high temperatures at their cores and burn hydrogen. After they burn all the hydrogen, they collapse and heat up to 200 million degrees.
Hey, Addison?
Yes, Hannah?
If stars are made of both hydrogen and helium, and the star burns all the hydrogen, what does it even do with the helium?
After burning all the hydrogen, the star begins to burn the helium as well.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah, after burning all the helium, things get rapidly faster.
What gets faster again?
The process of a star's death. When done burning the rest of the helium, the carbon turns to neon with a total of 10 protons.
Okay, Addison, this one's for you. Do you know what lights up restaurants at night?
The weird sign with the really pretty colors. It contains neon, that's what it's called.
Yeah. That's right. Neon makes a lot of signs that lights up at stores, restaurants, and many other public places.
When the carbon turns to neon, the cores finally reach a massive 1 billion degrees. Oh, yeah.
That's cool and all, but what happens next?
Oh, I know.
Hannah?
After the series of collapses, the neon turns to oxygen, and the oxygen turns to silicone.
That's a lot of ands.
What else happens, Anna?
You know how you told us it would take 3 billion degrees to heat up the protons and make iron?
Yeah.
Well, after silicone, it reaches 3 billion degrees, making the silicone iron.
That's right!
What happens to the iron?
That's how far elements can change, but there's something else.
What is it?
All the elements are layering on the star and start to expand to the point where it will reach a large amount of the galaxy.
That's amazing.
Now we've seen how to generate a bunch of elements up to iron.
But what about the rest of the periodic table?
Hey, Cutter, do you know this one?
Actually, I think I do. You don't see the rest of the elements coming from dying stars.
They don't?
Nope. They come from exploding stars.
What's even an exploding star called?
It's called a supernova, and they're very unique. Oh my gosh, I love them. in just a few seconds of every explosion, every element of the periodic table has come to existence. And all of that was from a supernova.
Hey, Hannah, did you know that a supernova is so bright that for an entire week it outshines the rest of the galaxy?
That's amazing. Back to what we were saying. Many of the new stars we hear in history, like the Star of Bethlehem, may have well been a supernova. And now with a dead star or supernova, it happens to be a bunch of dust and particles in a large cloud.
All of those particles and cluster of dust in the large cloud contain something else.
They contain every single particle of the periodic table.
And those particles are still floating in space.
We started with just hydrogen and helium, then went through the entire periodic table.
He's right. But it's still a very important part of the universe. The helium and hydrogen make at least 98% of the universe.
And that makes the rest of the periodic table 2% of the universe.
But it's still a very important part of the universe.
He's right.
Without that 2%, we wouldn't even be here.
I'm Cutter.
I'm Addison.
And I'm Hannah.
This is Elm Grove STEM Talk.
Signing off.